The lack of summertime humidity in our part of the world can be both blessing and curse. The blessing is that it doesn't feel quite as hot when it's 100 degrees, but the humidity is low. The curse is that everything dries out, and that makes it easier for fires to get started and continue burning. The relationship of drought to temperature is the focus of research put out earlier this month from scientists at the University of California, Irvine, in the LA area. It would appear that when drought is enforced, temperatures can get even higher. Felicia Chang is a PhD student in the Department of Civil Engineering at UC Irvine and the principal author of the study we're talking about. Felicia, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This can get a little complicated as we get into the interactions between temperature and humidity, but talk about where the science stood and where you wanted to take your research.
Okay, so in the study that we recently published, we wanted to explore if droughts are getting warmer faster than the average climate. So we had noticed in the southwestern U.S. Like a shift of around 0.6 degrees, so around 0.6 degrees Celsius, so around 1 degree Fahrenheit, between the first and the second half of the 20th century. But when you only include months that are classified as dry, you see that there's almost double the shift in temperature. And so we found that this was also occurring in the southeast, northeast, and upper Midwestern regions of the U.S. This is occurring in southern Oregon and definitely in northern California. And in the paper, we argue that these shifts can be connected to similar shifts that are occurring in atmospheric moisture that we measured through like relative humidity and vapor pressure deficit.
So the drier it is easier for the temperature to rise even higher?
Yeah, so you can actually explain this by looking into soil moisture. So when there's water available in the soil, when the sun's energy hits the ground, the available energy can usually be evaporated away as latent heat. But when there isn't that much moisture on the ground, the energy stays in the area as heat and it increases the local temperature. And we can actually relate changes in atmospheric moisture that we've seen occurring to changes in soil moisture, and we believe that is driving these shifts in temperatures under drought periods.
So again, if there's moisture in the soil, that can evaporate off, and that has a cooling effect, the evaporative process, doesn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So wow, what kind of data did you choose to include, and what did you discard as not helpful?
So essentially, we looked into observations in the early and the late 20th century, and we simply used temperature and precipitation data. So the precipitation data was basically used to evaluate whether or not a certain month was in drought or not, and then we found the temperatures related to those months. And then in order to look into soil moisture and relative humidity, there are some data sets available from government agencies.
Now, you mentioned where you studied, southeast, northeast, upper Midwest, and I think you said that there's even some southern Oregon and northern California data in here. So how did you choose the regions to study?
So actually, we studied the entire lower 48 states. So
okay.
We studied the contiguous U.S., but the regions that were actually showing this amplified shift in temperature under droughts were just those regions that I just mentioned. And it's interesting because some other regions, especially in the middle of the U.S., are showing less warming than the average climate is warming. And we sort of attribute that to an opposite effect, since in that area, you can actually see from satellite data that you can see how irrigation is increasing the amount of moisture that's available in the land, and that provides sort of a relative cooling.
Are these places that used to irrigate and have just taken it up recently? Do we know that much?
So these are places where irrigation is actually showing an increasing trend. So places where they didn't used to irrigate so much, but now they're irrigating more.
So, Felicia, we talked about the places. Now, what about in time? This is really where things get interesting. And you mentioned first half, second half of 20th century. How far back did you go?
So the actual specific dates that we looked into were We looked at the 1965 to 2014 period, and we related that to a baseline period of 1902 to 1951. And then we also did a follow-up where we looked into model projections from a future period of 2050 to 2099, and that was relative to a baseline of 1950 to 1999.
So in terms of the data that you had available to you, 1902 to 1951, were they measuring all the same things that you needed measured in the other periods?
Yeah. So some of the data sets, like temperature is generally very readily available. Precipitation is also pretty available. What they do is they will assimilate data from different weather stations and sort of create like a gridded data set so that I can sort of look into all of these regions without any gaps.
We are talking about drought and temperature, and that when drought is in effect, it appears that temperatures are able to rise even higher in parts of the world. Well, parts of the lower 48 states is what we're talking about here. Felicia Chang is the principal author of the study. Her co-authors are Omid Mazdiyazni and Amir Aga Kuchak at the University of California, Irvine. The title of the piece is Amplified Warming of Droughts in Southern United States and Observations and Model Simulations. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Your questions, your comments about what we're seeing here in terms of climate change and in terms of heat, temperature, well, heat and temperature, the same thing in this context, and moisture. 800-838-3700. 760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned, let's put the irrigation area aside for just a moment. Is it similar sorts of behavior you see in different parts of the country? I mean, where the humidities are somewhat different, but you see drought take effect. Was the effect pretty much the same?
Yeah. So what we were actually looking at was changes in relative humidity. So we actually found that it was interesting that like if you look at the southern U.S., for example, you have like the southwest where it's usually drier humidity. But then when you look at the southeast, you generally experience more humid, a more humid climate. But we saw the same things or the same pattern occurring in both regions.
All right. And that is that we're talking about a 2 degree Fahrenheit difference?
So it was actually it depended based on the region, and we broke down the U.S. into 7 different regions. And well, for the Southwest specifically, which includes Northern California, it was around 1 degree Fahrenheit difference between the first kind of drought threshold that we were looking at in comparison to the average climate.
All right, so drought in this sense, meaning obviously stuff not falling out of the sky to keep this soil moisture in there, but again, the irrigation part of this in the Midwest, that essentially putting more moisture into the ground can mitigate some of these changes?
Yes.
Wow. So does that then indicate, you're not drawing any recommendations here, but in just on the basis of conclusions, does it appear that irrigation does help in mitigate at least the surface heating?
Yeah, so definitely. It definitely helps in a physical sense, but at the same time, when you're irrigating, I'm not an expert on this, but when you're irrigating, you're obviously drawing water from somewhere else, maybe from the groundwater or from other water sources, and that can have effects not in the local sense, but in sort of like a regional sense.
All right, so let me pull up what might be the scariest paragraph in the entire report, and this is printed in Science Advances August 1st. Under our future projections of amplified drought-conditioned temperature shifts in the southern United States, the occurrence of concurrent extremes will likely increase and exacerbate the impacts anticipated from individual extremes. This is exceedingly important as dry lands are becoming more widespread under climate change, which will widen the documented temperature impact. So dry lands becoming more widespread under climate change. Are we talking desertification here, Felicia?
Yeah. So some other unrelated studies have been looking into how, I guess, dry lands have been expanding in the world. And they sort of map how much area is being lost to dry lands.
So the areas that we used to consider reasonably well-watered lands are ceasing to be so over time?
Yeah, some regions have started to show that. And then, so the paragraph also mentions concurrent extremes mm-hmm. in comparison to individual extremes. And that's really important because, so in this study, we're looking at droughts and warming temperatures, and that can have really severe effects. Like if you have a drought and a heat wave occurring at the same time, that actually increases the risk of a wildfire, which has really severe implications, obviously, for California and for Southern Oregon.
Yeah, well, we've certainly been feeling it for the better part of a month now. I'm wondering about the feedback loops here then. I mean, because you hear about this a lot in climate change, and as you get drier lands that mm-hmm. have less moisture to yield up to the water cycle, then, I mean, is this lead into a loop where then the process can speed up? You get more drier lands faster, potentially?
Yeah, that could definitely happen. So what happens is, I mean, from what we're describing in the paper, so obviously when you have a dry environment and then you have the solar energy coming in and heating up the land, then the remaining water that's there generally evaporates, and that can create even warmer land, and that can definitely have like a runaway feedback effect.
Were there any particular surprises? I mean, this is a whole lot of information to go through, past, present, and future, and I'll talk about the future in a moment, but as you looked at the data and ran through computer models and stuff, were there things that jumped out as opposed to just seeing little blips and thinking, oh, that might be noise?
So actually, we were really surprised to see like a relative cooling in the middle of the U.S. when we first looked at the data. But then we found some other papers that have actually looked into that region specifically, and they sort of explained that this was occurring due to irrigation. So this was actually really interesting for me because I didn't really consider the human activity dimension of it, but it's actually really important to consider.
And that is the irrigation part?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're talking again with Felicia Chang from the University of California, Irvine. She's the principal author of a study on amplified warming in droughts, primarily in the southern United States. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned three periods, two of which have happened already and one of which hasn't, 1902 to 1951, compared with 1965 to 2014, and then computer modeling for 2050 through 2099. And I wonder what you showed in that, the future cast.
So in the future period, we were comparing that to projections model simulations of what has already occurred, so 1950 to 1999. And in those model projections, we actually show that similar areas in comparison to the observed are going to be showing amplified shifts in temperature under droughts as well. So regions like the southwestern region, and then more of the southeast.
So we're talking areas like Georgia, Alabama, potentially even Florida, that are going to become drier than they are now?
So most areas are going to show Actually, all areas are going to be showing temperature increases in the late 21st century, but some regions are going to be showing larger increases in comparison to just months overall. So looking at drought periods, wet periods, and just near normal conditions.
When you talk about the effect of irrigation in the Midwest, is there any? It sounds like it wasn't part of your data set, though, to get an idea of sustainability of that irrigation, whether there are the water supplies to allow that to continue at the rate at which it's going now.
Yeah, I mean that's not specifically the area that I generally study, but it's definitely something that I think we will have to deal with in the near future. And especially in California, too, since we experience a lot of droughts, we can't always continue relying on groundwater.
So, Felicia, what's the takeaway here for the people who are thinking, well, this is a lot of stuff they just said, but what does it really mean? What is the basic thing, the short, you know, over the minute market counter conversation you'd have about this with people?
Yeah, so I guess I would just say that, well, droughts in the southern U.S. In the eastern U.S. have been warming more quickly than the average climate, and this can have implications relating to like warmer temperatures during drought periods, the occurrence of wildfires, effects on public health, agriculture, and so on.
And does it have any change in relative humidity? I mean, when I think about parts of the country that could get hotter because they are in drought, I also wonder about how much that changes, you know, because people get used to the muggy conditions, I guess, or don't, in the southeast. It's a very bit shocking to people from the West Coast who have been living in the dry conditions to go there. Any changes in overall relative humidity that are reflected in this?
Well, overall, so the changes in relative humidity, I think, are not going to be so, they won't be very obvious, but there are decreases in relative humidity in the areas where we are seeing increases in temperature during droughts, and that can just have those effects, but I'm not sure if those will actually be noticeable.
All right, not enough to get that muggy feeling off the paper.
Yeah.
What's then the next logical step in your research? Where are you and your partners, Omid and Amir, looking to move ahead?
So we actually want to look more into relative humidity and its relationship with soil moisture and sort of connect that in a more direct way.
Meaning what?
Well, we want to see if trends in relative humidity are actually directly affecting trends in soil moisture. So originally we've been looking at temperature, but now we want to bring in this new variable.
Okay, so not just temperature alone, but the RH as well.
Mm-hmm.
Relative humidity. Okay, lots of work went into this for sure. Felicia Chang, Omid Mazdiyazni, and Amir Agakuchak at the University of California, Irvine. The authors of Amplified Warming of Droughts in Southern United States and Observations and Model Simulations. Felicia Chang joined us today on the Jefferson Exchange. She is a PhD student in civil engineering at UC Irvine and the principal author of the study. Felicia, thanks so much for joining us today. Appreciate the information.
Thank you.
Take it easy.